we're going to call the meeting to order. It's good to see everyone here. Apparently, most of everyone went over our budget tonight, line by line. We should have you out by 12, but no, just kidding. Mr. Urban's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, a moment of silence in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Welcome to our monthly school board meeting. We have a few members missing tonight, but we do have Mr. Jones joining us from California. He's on the big screen up there. He can hear everything you say, I think, right?
Yes, loud and clear.
All right, good. It's
good to see such a large audience tonight.
This time we would move into the agenda. Were there any modifications to the agenda this evening?
We have an additional action item for the appointment of a new board member.
Okay.
We had to, just for the information for the public, we had a board member resign from the board last month. The board held public interviews today at 5:30. Those interviews were advertised. They did select a person who is a parent from the Blue Ball School. And that person cannot take a seat tonight, but will take a seat sometime either the first or second meeting of the board next month.
Yeah, we'll put that on as an action item to vote on that on the recommendation from the committee after our consent agenda. Any other modifications or additions to the agenda this evening?
Just one notation on the consent agenda, Mr. President. Note Mr. Urban is added as the IU board rep to the intermediate unit. We discussed that last month and needed to have approval from the board so we can send that forward to the IU.
Okay, thank you. Any others? All right, is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified?
So moved.
Second.
And Paul will second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda for this evening is approved. We have time now for citizens' comments. Were there any residents of the school district that wish to address the board? There's two, three. What I'll have you do is just if you come to the microphone, state your name, where you reside, and go. So if you put your hand up first.
Heather Myers, and I live in Terry Hill, and I would like to speak on ability grouping, otherwise known as student tracking. And for those who may not have heard this term before, student tracking is combining students with the same ability in the same classroom. This sounds innocent enough, however, student tracking will be detrimental to our children. Elanco has implemented student tracking for the 2014-15 school year, and will likely continue with this next year for grades 1 through 6. Socially, this new format is extremely harmful to our children. Students as early as third grade are already sensing the hierarchy of the class. Who was the brightest? Who was the most popular? Who was slower, etc. One of the biggest concerns about student tracking is that schools tend to place racial minorities and low-income students into low-achieving educational groups, according to the National Education Association. This creates self-fulfilling prophecy in which students labeled as having low abilities end up underachieving. Ability grouping does not help students learn, but instead serves as a way to label them. I have a third grader at Blue Ball, and math is challenging to my child, however, he is bright. My child's math teacher is patient and is great at her job. However, from my observations, so much time is being spent on disciplining instead of actual teaching. Some may say, well, my child is bright, so I have no reason to worry academically about her. They also may have no concerns on ability improving for that student. But I must point out to those who may say this, that this will be harmful to them as well. If a high achiever is in an educational setting with other high achievers, will they take for granted that they may not need to work as hard? And what will that bring to their college years? For the low achiever being placed in ability grouping, how will they know that they can work harder? Again, this all seems innocent enough, but what will happen in the next 3 to 5 years when we have students in high school that do not even know other students and have been in the same class with the same students for their entire academic career? I realize what I may have said may mean very little to you, but I will not idly sit back and watch ability grouping, which has come directly from the Common Core, disrupt my child's education both academically and socially. I am taking a stand. I'm going to fight for my child. So I promise you this, you have not seen or heard the last from me. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Okay. Were there any questions or comments at this point? We'll definitely look into that and have a discussion on that. If there's anything we can do. Then the next, who else had said? Chris.
Chris Copeland, Terry Hill. I just want to take the opportunity to say a prayer before the meeting starts. You could just bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day, beautiful spring weather. And thank you for this country and the freedoms that we have. We just ask that you would bless and protect the men and women serving this nation, protecting our freedoms. Be with our leaders, be with this board. We just ask that you give them wisdom, discernment, consider the concerns of the community. We just ask that your hand be on the students and the teachers in the district. Bless us with safety in our schools. Just pray that we would honor you and all that we do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Okay, and there was one other. Yes, okay.
Good evening. My name is Josh Good, from Terry Hill. First, I want to say thank you so much for your hard work and your effort and your dedication as a school board. I really appreciate your love for our students and your love for our community. It's been a while since I've been here at a school board meeting, but my feelings remain the same. I appreciate your love, again, for our students and for our community. With that said, I want to come tonight and share some of my concerns with the Common Core standards being implemented in Elanco. And I bring these concerns from a number of different perspectives, kind of a unique perspective. I'm a substitute here in the school district, and I sub probably about once a week in the middle school and the high school, 4 times a month. And I'm also a community leader. I am a youth pastor at Trinity EC Church in Terry Hill. And most importantly, I'm the father of 3 small kids who very soon will be of school age, ready to enter our school district. And so from that unique perspective comes my concern about Common Core. As a sub, I've had the opportunity to talk to multiple teachers in the middle school and in the high school, and frankly, across the board, the feedback that I've been getting is it's harder and harder for them to educate students. Across the board, that's the feedback they've given me. And as a sub, not only have I been able to talk to teachers, but I've had the chance to work at teaching these new standards myself. And I've noticed a significant change in the expectations of students, the homework required of students, the standards present in the classroom. And as a youth pastor, our church does once a week homework help time. Wednesday afternoon, students come and myself and some other adults help them with their studies, with their homework. And again, in that setting, we've noticed a tremendous increase in levels of student stress, the levels of student homework, the levels of student confusion and frustration. And also as a youth pastor, interacting with parents from K through 12, they've also expressed great concerns about the stress levels, the anxiety levels of their sons and daughters. Most importantly for me, again, is my children, the three young kids who are, the next 2 years will be entering school. And I would say that my level of concern is great enough that I'm going to pick a different school for my children to attend. My level of concern is great enough that I'm going to attempt to not send them to our district, which really grieves me because I do love you. I love your work. I love your love for our community. And I had such a great experience coming up through the Elanco School District. So it grieves my heart to go that direction, but my concerns are that great. And so I would love, you know, feedback on how you see it going, the implementation of Common Core, how you're changing things that aren't working, and things of that nature.
I guess I would ask both you and, was it Heather?
Yes.
Okay. Have you had any discussions with the teachers and the building level people at this point? Okay.
Absolutely.
So, because that is, you know, it's, as far as from a board level, you know, we do need to have that with, as a first point of contact, you know, because they're the ones that are really implementing the system. So, and then
I'm as involved as I possibly can be, and it's going into the classroom and it's emailing on a constant basis. This is not something that happened one day and I went with it. This has been over time.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to look into that. Thank you.
Well, can I ask some
Any
questions?
Comments? Yes, go ahead.
Perhaps Mr. Good or Ms. Myers would want his comment on these. And my question isn't, I'm not defending or disparaging Common Core. My question is surrounding the intent of Common Core, and do they think that they're, or are they aware of a suitable replacement, or do we even, is it of their opinion that we do not need a national standard as far as education benchmarks for our children?
I personally do not feel like we do. I think we are taking so much away.
I can't. Can she come to the
microphone? Yeah,
he's
tied into the system.
Testing is absolutely something that we need to do, but it obviously is not working the way that we are doing it. This will be the first year that my son is doing the PSSAs, and I will be opting him out. There is a ridiculous level of stress placed on these kids starting in second grade, the beginning of second grade, just pep rallies and just getting them all excited about this test. And this test is just, again, the anxiety levels that this creates, there's no need for it in this age bracket, in my opinion. These teachers do a great job. I've never had a problem with a teacher so far. I think they do a great job, but unfortunately we are not allowing them to do their job any longer. This is completely, their measure is based on statistics, and I'm looking at the group of teachers here. They make my child's education, and unfortunately for them, again, it's not working. So no, I mean, we're not allowing them to do their job.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't expect to be put on the
spot.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean to do that either. That's, I appreciate you be willing to do that. Did you have any other questions around the year at this point?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Yes.
I just wanted to say we do take your concerns seriously, and I wanted to say, Mr. Good, that I really appreciate. I love hearing that when the community and our local churches are partnering with us, and I love the idea of the homework help night that you do. And so if we're listening to your concerns, some of this I need to hear more about. I mean, the Common Core is something that, as Mr. Jones was saying, it's difficult to get a standard that is the right standard that works, and there's a lot that goes into that. But we do hear your concerns and appreciate you bringing it to the board.
Thank you.
Any other comments? thanks for speaking up, and we will continue to monitor that.
Just one other comment. I think it's a bigger issue than just the school district. I think you need to share your concerns with your local legislators as well, because this is driven top down. And when I say top down, it's not me top down. It's top down from PDE. Actually, it's in part parcel top down from the federal government. So there's a lot of folks that need to weigh in to change the course. I happen to agree that we do overfocus in certain subject areas. That's a concern for me and some other folks in the district. We have a foundation set up specifically, we have an educational foundation set up specifically to counteract some of the over presence of the focus on just a few subject areas. And so we're trying to acknowledge that by looking at global competencies. What do kids really need to have to be globally competent? Well, it's a heck of a lot more than math and reading and science a little bit, because science is periodic. You look at some of the issues that the world has, and the issues that need discussion are mostly found in the social studies curriculum, if you think about it. It's economics, it's religion, it's some of those cultural differences. And the state is saying that's not important, because that's not worth driving us to go. So I hear your frustration and I feel it. So we'll definitely continue to put in where we can. But please understand, too, that we're under certain restrictions and guidelines. In fact, our teachers, God bless them, are being evaluated by the very subjects that we have concern about. And they are being evaluated. My hands are tied. All of our hands are tied on that piece. And so there is, we're being driven almost like cattle to certain pieces. So the frustration you have is real, and I'm acknowledging it. So thanks.
Okay. I think that was it for us, people who said they wanted to speak. So we have a special presentation this evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. We do. We do not have Students of the Month. Neither one of them could be here this evening, probably because they're involved in any number of other events, so we'll catch up with them next month. But I do have two other presentations. We have recently had some students who have experienced some extremely high success. So I'd ask that the members of the rifle team, just stand in your place for now who are here. Just stand up. I want to talk about you a little bit. And then I'll have your Coach Houck, join me in some of the comments. You are looking at the Lancaster-Lebanon first place finishers for the rifle team. There are seven teams in the county. But there's a whole lot more to the story than just that final finish. It's been since 1977 since we've had a championship team here in this particular subject or in this particular area. And I have to, and only a few of you will get what this next comment means, but the coach at the time was a fellow named Don Reed. Any parents? Anyone? You want to say? Okay. Don Reed was the coach. And at that time, Don Reed was a teacher. So we're going back pretty far. Don's been retired about five or 7 years. So we're going back pretty far. The other part of the story is it was only 2010 when this group or this team was 1-9. So they've come a long way in a short period of time and sort of scratching and clawing every year and getting one more win every year until they found themselves on top. So that's the team, and I'll let Coach Houck talk a little bit more about that. But there's one person in particular that also should be mentioned, Julia Irvin. Any relation, Paul? Do you know? Is it a cousin maybe? Julia shot an average of an unbelievable 99.7 for the course of the which makes her the LL Marksman or Markswoman. I guess we're going to have to update, aren't we? The LL Markswoman of the year about several Saturdays ago. So congratulations to Julia especially. 99.7, how many misses is that in the whole I'm just, not that I want to focus on the negative.
I think I have three
targets out of the whole season that you didn't get from. Glad she's not shooting me.
So no more too.
All right, well, I'll turn it over to you, Alan. Coach Houck, and for those who don't recognize him directly, he served here for a while in the PE area. I'll let Alan make a few comments.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hollister. Appreciate that. I think I'm missing two. Jay and John. I'm missing two of the shooters from the team this year. Go ahead and sit down. And that makes you guys really uncomfortable.
We should clap for the whole team.
What's that?
We should clap for the whole team, though, not just...
Yes, I feel really good about that. Some of you that were here, as Dr. Hollister said, it was 1977 since we had won the league. In fact, Mitchell Beam's dad was on that team as a, did you say a sophomore then? So yes, he was a sophomore as well as with Mitch's. So it's been a long time coming, and as you said, we've scratched and clawed the past couple years to come out of the 1-9 to now the 11-1, and we're really proud of that. The kids did, you know, like I say, extremely well. We have to shoot at night, as most of you know, and this group comes in 5 o'clock, 5:15 every night, and I sometimes don't get out of here till 9:15 at night, because this group wants to shoot and wants to improve. Julia shot 147 targets in practice this year, one night shooting 10, so that's 5 doubles. Samantha Walsh is right beside her over there. She again put in the time, and I think she was 100 and I looked the other night, I think 131 targets. So that just shows the level of commitment these kids have. And I appreciate that, you're recognizing us, but I've been recognizing them for the past couple years, that they're putting the time in late at night. They go home from school, they work on their schoolwork, they come back to school, they're shooting on lines, they're doing their homework, they help each other out with homework, and then they go home and do even more homework after they're done. So the commitment that they have and to their parents that have to get them back and forth, we really appreciate that. And some of the parents are here, and I'd like to acknowledge that the parents have had ride in this journey as well. Just a couple notes I just wanted to point out. We did end up 11-1 this year as all-star. Julia ended up as number one all-star. And we have to take 10 targets. So the 99.7 means, yes, she dropped 3 shots out of 1,000 points. So that's pretty impressive. Willow, who showed up a little bit late. As a freshman, Willow Robbins ended up number 3 in the All-Star this year. She dropped, I think, 6 total shots out of 1,000 points. So, again, that just shows this. And our last of the All-Stars was Sam Walsh. Sam was number 7 this year. So, we did okay. We're looking forward to next year. Individuals, at the individual shoot, Willow came in 2nd, Sam was 7th, and Julie was 9th. And one other point, this is the first year, and are all 5 of you here, my 500 group? The people that shot the 500, stand up a second. Julia, Brad, okay. These 5 people, we shot on our last match, sorry for my back over here, on our last match against E-Town, we shot something that hadn't been done in the league. Well, it's been done twice since 2000. We shot a perfect score, which is a 500. And these are my 500 shooters. Coach coach had to, I started this back when I started coaching back in, when I took over for Nancy White in 1992. If anybody shot a 500, I told him I'd take him out for steak. That had been running since 1992. We went to Longhorn a couple weeks ago, and I took them all for steak, and it was well deserved. But you dangle that out, and you set the bar. And like I said, this group set the bar, and I set the bar, and they achieved it. So I'm like I say, very proud of them. Anybody else have anything to say?
We have the team group up here. The board would like to shake your hand, as would I.
Everyone.
Yes. Coach, if you could follow up behind, too.
I will do that.
Come on, be a leader.
You look good.
Thank you. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Should be mentioned as well. Caitlin Martin. Caitlin, can you stand up, please? Sorry, you don't have anyone to stand up with. Stand alone. And our coach, Harry Charlson. Caitlin edged out E-Town, which gives me a special satisfaction because I know the superintendent of E-Town well, and in a recent competition in bowling. Caitlin is the league champ, and here's a special little piece to this, because it's the first year they've separated boys and girls, men's and women's bowling, Caitlin will have the distinction of being the first female champion of the league. So if you don't know, Coach Harry Charlson, if there's anything you would like to say, the microphone is yours. I'll talk a little about Caitlin.
Caitlin's put in a lot of effort, worked real hard. She went in with the fourth highest average in the league for the girls. During the tournament, she averaged 227.8 for 10 games, which is extremely well. Her league average was 195, so you can see how much better she did at the tournament. And we're preparing for states this Friday. She put in a lot of effort, and she's done a great job. Couldn't ask for anybody better to work with. I just wish her parents would have had a few more kids. I mean, I had two brothers.
It's never too late.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just a note to all of you. We talk about the Students of the Month and some others, but something that you all need to know. When you go out on our fields and you wear a Garden Spot uniform or you represent the Garden Spot High School, you're representing not just your team, you're representing yourself individually, and depending on how far you travel, you represent this community. And so while it is... it is, I think, a privilege to participate in our after-school activities and events. It also comes with it some responsibility, and you guys and gals have upheld that responsibility to my extreme satisfaction. So I hope you enjoy your time in the events that you're doing, but also know that every time you go out onto any kind of field or the bowling alley or a shooting range, you represent a lot of things, not just yourself, your family, your coaches, this community. So always keep that in mind, and always give it the respect that that we all deserve. Again, thank you very much. You're welcome to stay. You're not obligated to stay. I know you have homework to do. Feel free to leave, but certainly we'd love to have an audience too. We don't get them very often. Thank you.
All right, thanks again, and thanks for the parents too for showing up and supporting. All right, we are at our time for our consent agenda, which has been modified and approved. So at this time, we need to vote on it. For those of you not familiar with it, we have two meetings a month. The first one is our committee meetings, where we do a lot of our discussions. Things go into the consent agenda, and we vote for it all as one in one motion. So is there a motion to approve the consent agenda this evening?
So moved.
Second. I think Tom went in first. Was Paul second? Paul second. Any other discussions? All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion is approved.
Did we lose Rodney?
Oh, yeah. Rodney had to take a phone call, so he must not have
okay. I thought we were having interference from a truck going up and going down to 23 or so. Can you kill his mic? Thank you.
Send him a text.
Yeah, so
we had one item that we had removed from the, or had added to the agenda, which is an action item this evening. Tom Wenzel was the head of the our meeting this evening, where we interviewed for a candidate. And do we have a recommendation, Tom?
Oh, yes. At 5:30 this evening, Glenn and I interviewed Dina Mayo for the position to fill Glenn Hartz's position on the school board. Glenn resigned at our last meeting. The meeting was advertised, and it was a public meeting, free for anyone in the community to attend. And at, as a result of that interview, Glenn and I recommend her for to be put on the school board.
Yeah, she and I'll pass around. She had given us, it was nice enough to give us a resume, and has been very involved with the PTO at Hoopla, and I think will be a great addition. So at this time, is there a motion to appoint Dina Mayo as the new board member to replace Mr. Hartz, who resigned earlier this month?
So moved.
Paul, there's a second.
Second.
Jenny? Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And Dina was not able to be here this evening. She has had some prior commitments with the PTO, but we will most likely be, in the next month, we will be formally installing her onto the board. So. Okay, we do not have, I guess Mr. Ramsey's not here, so I'm assuming we don't have a Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau report.
He told me that his next meeting is this coming Wednesday.
Okay. So we'll move on to Lancaster 11-IU-13, Mr. Urban.
The IU board met on March 11, 2015. As board actions were, we approved $6.47 million in disbursements. We had five new or amended business service contracts. We had seven new or amended instructional service contracts. We had four new or amended technology service contracts and one new contract for the human resource services. We had four resignations of employees, one termination of employee, 15 new hires, 17 change of positions or salaries, and we approved three leave of absences. A couple notes, the health center will be opening in the second week of April at the IU office in Lancaster, and I believe that's something as a Elanco board we want to follow closely, because I believe that is something that hopefully will work well at the IU, and we'll be able to broaden that and have that same type of doctor and health service and clinic available through the district in years to come. At this time, I am open for questions. If somebody has any questions on the IU board actions to date.
All right. And we will be next month needing to be voting on the budget, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. Okay, hearing no other questions, I guess we'll move on. And once again, Paul, thanks for being willing to serve on that. I know we voted to put you on another term. It is a major commitment of time, and it's much appreciated that you're willing to do that. So. Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redman.
The CTC, the Joint Operating Committee, met on February 26th. We officially approved the new assistant director. His name is B. Keith Yohn, Y-O-H-N. We didn't meet him. He was on vacation between when he ended the last job and when he started this one. So we will meet him. We anticipate meeting him this month. But he was offered the position and did accept the position. We had a presentation about the commercial construction program done by the instructor, whose name was Corey Andrews, or Andrew, I'm sorry, no S, sorry. He talked about some of the things that they're doing. He showed us a wonderful slide presentation about their work in the community. They've done some work for some local churches. The places that they go out to work for provide all of the materials and all of the funding for the materials. The students of the class provide the work. Therefore, they get the work experience. They get the, one of the things they did for one of the local churches was put a whole sidewalk in, and they dug up the bed and they stoned it however it needed to be done. They framed it all out and did all of the cement work. Hands-on working. One of the things that they're doing now is, can't remember where it is. Is it in Maytown? They're working on a historical society building. They're reconstructing a historical society building. They're adding a museum portion to the back of it. So they did the heavy equipment program, came in and dug out the basement with the heavy equipment. And then they came, they've done all the blocking, they've done the cement work. They were working on the floor as he was showing us some of the pictures. So it's a good work experience for the students, as well as the program has some job shadowing pieces and some internships. A number of the students are working 2 or 3 days a week on an internship, but those are paying jobs and will most likely lead to a permanent job as they're hired from those places. The one thing he did talk about was some of the new laws and the mandates for the clearances, and we've been concerned about that as a district too. Those new laws having to do with the clearances are creating some issues with job sharing and internships, because of all the clearances and all of the levels that have to be done. So they're in the process of figuring out how to work that out and what needs to be done to see exactly what the problem is. But that's one of the concerns that he shared. As always, they are doing wonderful, wonderful things at the CTC. It is an excellent, excellent program. It was kind of an exciting meeting because folks from the foundation were there. There is a foundation that does a lot of fundraising, and they were there to announce how they were spending some of their money. So they were, they had doled out some of their grant money. The money had come back into the CTCs. They provided $71,000 for programs, materials, and equipment throughout the campuses, throughout the program altogether. And then they awarded $46,000 for staff administration grants. There were 9 of them this year. One of them was for new equipment, and there were various folks who had written the submissions for the grants, and these were awarded. It went very quickly, and I did not get down all the names, but I do have all the grants were for. So one of them was for equipment. One of the grants was a suicide prevention program. One of the grants was for English as a second language resources. One of them was a grant that provides will provide six chairs for their dental clinic, which they'll be opening up to serve patients. They have a dental program. One was for animal production technology. One grant was given to the commercial photography program. One of the grants was for math relevance to be used for technology for laptops to go with the math program. One of the grants is assisted technology for the hard of hearing. One of the grants awarded was for the cosmetology department at Mountjoy campus for both ongoing training and some new equipment in that program. And $880 was awarded for student assistance grants, which is kind of like a scholarship program and helps hands-on students get the materials, the equipment they need, and or assistance with all the programs do come with some cost. The testing has a cost that goes with it, so that assistance program is available. After all of that, here comes the commercial. Are you ready? Fly on the Run is their big fundraiser. It is a fishing tournament. Let me see. It's more than a fishing tournament. There's a banquet that's held on the Brownstown campus. They're at the school. There's a fishing tournament, and they're selling raffle tickets. So if you want any more information about that, if you're Fisher people, I have the flyer. Registration information is in here. The date is May 13th and 14th. So I have all of that. We also got a quick commercial for the Taste of Success fundraiser, which helps to support the New Choices, which I talked a little bit about last time. There was just an article in the Lancaster newspaper about the New Choices and some of the work they're doing with women from the prison. That was very interesting, if you've had a chance to read it. It was also on Lancaster Online, if you do that instead of getting the newspaper. I told you last time that I had the main flyer, but I didn't have reservation cards. Well, today I have two reservation cards. If you're interested, I have all of that. The Taste of Success fundraiser is Friday evening, March 27th. So I have all of that. And that concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll certainly try to answer them.
Okay. Any questions? Sounds like there's a lot of good stuff again going on at the CTC.
There are wonderful things going on at
the CTC. Yeah, they really do have a great program. So. Hearing none, I guess we will move on to legislative.
Yes, since our last formal meeting, March 3rd, Governor Wolf gave his budget proposal for the state of Pennsylvania. Contains a lot of changes in taxes in different areas to the state, different funding for public education. We'll have to wait and see how things shake out as it goes through the budget process in the state capital and see what ultimately comes out of it. Won't be everything the governor proposed, but there definitely will be changes in funding to the school districts of the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know if Keith isn't here. I don't know if Bob would like to comment on that. But
I think it's too early to speculate on what we'll get or not yet until it gets through the process. I give the governor credit for trying something new. It's at least going to create a conversation. It really is. So the big problem is that pension reform is not part of the equation, and I'd love to see some give and take on that, and everyone could win if they can get their act together in Harrisburg.
I agree with that. Saying that for over a year, if Harrisburg gets anything right, they have to get pension reform right. Everything else is small peanuts compared to that, because it's just going to eat us a lot. Solution reached at that pension reform. Two bills that I thought that are definitely of interest in our area. House Bill 512, college credit for AP scores, would expand the program for college freshmen who have taken advanced placement exams in high school with scores that qualify them for college course credits, which is a definite benefit for those that partake in our school district, and any expansion of that would be. Any of you especially me. I have a lot of kids that go to school. There's definitely an advantage to keeping your getting better rates of tuition. The other one is House Bill 141, truancy penalties. One of the bill sponsors is Mark Gillen, Berks County State Representative, who covers part of our school district, Brentnock Township. Most people don't realize there are truancy rules for school districts. And this bill comes out of a tragic event in Berks County where a mother was sent to prison for children not attending school, and she died in prison, needlessly. Some revisions to it, it gives the court more leeway that the person will not be in prison for not paying the fines and their students, their children not attending school. There's more leeway in sentencing, and won't reach the tragic result that resulted in that mother's death in prison. If there are no questions, that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or legislative issues? I wasn't able to attend the breakfast. Was there any, was there a lot of discussion on the budget at the legislative breakfast, or not really?
No.
Just the usual. Okay. Very well. Any other comments? Superintendent's report then.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just two items. One is an information, well, both are information items. The first, I want to put it on your radar that we will have a group of students traveling to Vietnam as a part of the Spartan Foundation for Education. We have 20 students. I was surprised. They had to turn some away, much to my surprise. So and the foundation felt that it was important to support it because of the soft skills that go along with traveling, especially to a country like Vietnam. I think that the foundation probably would have been a little less supportive if it was a trip to Europe, because Europe is sort of we're sort of a junior Europe or vice versa. It's very Americanized. Vietnam is going to be an authentic experience. One of the teachers who's chaperoning, of course, was born and raised partly in Vietnam, was evac'd out during the war, and is going back, and they're going to get an off the tourist trip of Vietnam. So. And it's a long trip in June. Not only that, there's a bonus. Because you got to fly halfway around the world, you get to choose which direction you go. They're choosing to go through the Middle East. They're going to drop by in Gitter for an overnight. Former teacher who now works in Gitter is going to host them and roll out the red carpet for 24 hours while they're there. So those students are going to get one heck of an experience. So, the foundation is excited. Since this trip was approved, several other teachers have already talked to me about hosting some additional trips. I'm thrilled that we're getting international travel back on our agenda here. So thank you to the foundation and its work to promote those global competency skills. The second thing is an announcement. There is a community meeting taking place at Millersville University tomorrow. There's a flyer in your information. This is a part of the campaign for fair funding, educational funding. It's the coalition that has about 40 different organizations operating at the state level. This is one of the stops. There'll be a panel of folks who talk to community members. This is open for anyone. Anyone here may attend at Millersville tomorrow at the Bolger Conference Center. Start at 7 o'clock. I will be one of the panelists talking about some of the struggles we've had here to compensate for things like cyber school, the pension, the fact that our free and reduced lunch rates have escalated here, doubled in my time as superintendent, from about 20%, 21% to 41% in the last 7 years. So we're absolutely with our challenges, and the funding formula that we have in Pennsylvania doesn't account for any of that. We're considered one of the wealthiest school districts in the county, which is a joke. We're land rich and cash poor. So part of that, my presentation tomorrow will be discussing some of those challenges and the need for a real good look at the funding formula that, depending on who you talk to, is ranked between 47th and 49th in the country in terms of how it works. So we're almost dead last in terms of fair funding for education. So that's tomorrow evening. You're certainly welcome to attend. That concludes my comments for superintendent's report. Board members, we do need to have an executive session immediately following this meeting for a personnel matter and a legal matter. It should not take very long, but that's up to you. That concludes my report.
And thank you. Any questions or comments from the superintendent's report?
Well, I think for upcoming trips, I urge you to consider having a school director take part, because I think it would just be really good for us to, I'll journal.
You'll do something. The kids will be doing
it. No, I again applaud. This is great. It's really awesome.
It's awesome. It's an unbelievable opportunity.
Yeah.
And the foundation picked up a lot of money. Yeah. They really did put a lot of money into it, so their support for it.
That fits right in with their, you know, their goals and their charter, I guess, to
correct their vision statement.
Their vision statement. Very great, good time. It'll be exciting and interesting. We'll bring a lot back, I'm sure.
Part of the requirement is that the students need to bring back learnings and share those learnings. That was part of the foundation requirement, is that it's not just 20 students, that 20 students have to affect the larger group. That's part of the rubric that we evaluate, or that I'm ex officio on the board. They evaluate the impact on the whole community. So you can expect some students to be making some presentations, some active followership during the trip. The other thing that we ask is that they establish some type of permanent connection with Vietnam, so that there's a continued exchange going forward. So doing some pretty cool things through the foundation.
Okay, very good. Any other announcements or anything else to bring up for the board? You're back with us, Mr. Jennings.
Yep, I'm here.
All right. All right, then at this point, I would look for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.